Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour Big Bang Barbecue. GA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Omaha to Orlando, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
Thanks so much for being with us. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options? Adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. We appreciate you dropping on by. What a cool show we have for you today. We are all over the place from a sports world perspective, and I love mornings like this. In Miami, the Dolphins have decided to turn to their youngster, their first-round draft pick, their potential cornerstone franchise QB. Even though the Dolphins are 3-3 and have won 3 of their last 4, they are turning away from Ryan Fitzpatrick. The Dolphins have decided to go with Tua Tagovailoa. And so the decision to be made, we have to dissect. Our friend Adam Beasley, who covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald, is going to join us coming up here on the show in hour number 3. So stick around for that. We'll dissect and discuss the Dolphins' decision. Also, with the Big Ten debuting this weekend, another one of our regular guests, Howard Griffith, is going to join us from the Big Ten Network. Howard's going to join us in hour number 4. So we'll talk Tua. We'll talk Big Ten. We'll also talk, of course, World Series. Last night, game number 1 in Dallas. There's discord already. We're not even at Halloween yet, and already players are sniping through the media at the coaching staff. Also, when it comes to the Big Ten in general, is it possible that they blasted or put on notice Nebraska in how they scheduled this upcoming week? And because the NFC East is so bad, I feel so bad. Is it possible the NFL is looking to change the home playoff format? All of that coming up this morning on the show. So, hey, you want to jump in? Let's do it. Here's the phone number, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or just follow me and tweet at me, DA on CBS. But we begin last night in game number 1 of the World Series. Rays and Dodgers, this is the way that it was intended. These are the two best teams over the course of this season in baseball. They are two of the best stories as well. For the Tampa Bay Rays, the third lowest payroll in baseball, just $28 million. Already slaying the Giants when it comes to the Yankees and the ALDS. and the Astros in the ALCS. Those are big market, big payroll teams with playoff experience and stars all over the roster. And the Rays were able to outlast them despite having nobody, almost anybody, could name if you had them in a police lineup. So already the Rays just getting to this point in time, their first World Series appearance since 2008, only their second World Series appearance ever, is an amazing story. On the Dodger side of things, this has been a never-ending quest for that title, their first since 1988. Once upon a time, the Dodgers were in the World Series consistently. And once upon a time, they won World Series consistently. Once they moved from Brooklyn to Los Angeles in the late 50s, the 60s were dominated by Sandy Koufax and Don Drysdale. By the time we get to the 70s, again, it's a dynamic team. The Steve Garvey-led teams under Tommy Lasorda. They're in the World Series multiple times against the Yankees late 70s. They finally break through and win the World Series in 81. They get back there in 88, the Kirk Gibson World Series. And again, baseball just is normalized when the Dodgers are winning titles, but they haven't done so since 88. And so here are the Dodgers with all of these playoff demons and all of these October ghosts down 3-1 against the Braves of the NLCS, and all seems lost. That once again, it was going to be an upset, a disappointment, a frustration, a point of contention after they ensuingly got eliminated by the Braves. And yet something crazy happened. Dodgers, who have been known as a big market, big payroll team, but didn't have the guts in October, found the guts. And they come roaring back from down 3-1 to take the World Series in a crazy game number 7. And so here we are, Rays and Dodgers. So who draws first blood? You had Clayton Kershaw on the hill last night, and Kershaw has already been victim to his own playoff demons throughout his career. In game number 1, with a chance to set the tone, would Clayton Kershaw do so? He would. And for a Dodgers offense that is phenomenal, but has at times fallen asleep in big spots, would they rise to the occasion? They would. And after an 8-3 game one victory last night for the Dodgers, a night where everything went right for LA and not much went right for the Rays, are we looking at a situation where the Rays are just outclassed by the Dodgers? It is where we begin your cold open.
Mookie Betts, first pitch with a fly ball to right field. Heading on back is Renfroe at the wall, and it's gone! A home run! Mookie Betts is doing merely everything. A home run, two stolen bases, couple of runs scored, and on the first pitch of the bottom of the sixth, he hits a home run to right.
We got a lot of guys doing special things right now. You know, Belly, obviously, Will with big hits, JT, obviously, what does what he does, Muntz, Jock, yeah, all the way down. It's just, I didn't even say Seager, you know? So it's just like, it's just a special team. It is.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was Charlie Steiner on Dodgers Radio with the Mookie Betts home run. That was Clayton Kershaw after the win last night. Dodgers take game number one, as I mentioned, 8-3. A couple of big takeaways from last night's game. It's been a long time, it has at least felt like, since Kershaw had a real defining, positively, October moment. And last night, the Dodgers needed a big start from him. They needed a quality start from him, and they got it. 6 innings, 2 hits given up, only 1 run allowed with 8 strikeouts and 1 walk. Kershaw was phenomenal. And I would say this, the only problem I had with Dave Roberts and Clayton Kershaw last night was that I thought that Dave Roberts gave Kershaw the hook too early. Because after that, the suspect Dodgers bullpen scuffled a little bit. But for Kershaw, he still had plenty left in the tank. He had only thrown 78 pitches. I know that Dave Roberts wanted to take him out on a high note, and I know that the Dodgers had built a big lead, so I think it was, hey, let's just not let this get into a danger zone. But Kershaw had more left, and Kershaw gave you six strong innings. And you got to give Kershaw a major tip of the cap here, because he has been sliced and diced by everybody in his October starts, including in the LCS. And last night, he was very, very good in that spot. Also, you have Bellinger, who hits another home run and robs a home run at the wall, a big play defensively after his huge home run in the LCS game number 7, and he had popped his shoulder out of whack, out of the socket, had to be popped back in. I guess that shoulder's okay, huh? He comes back in game number 1, home run and a big defensive play, so that's huge for the Dodgers because he's part of those that amazing lineup with all those big young bats. And as for Mookie Betts last night, Betts' home run actually wasn't his greatest play on the night. His greatest play of the night was actually on the base paths, because he gets on base, he steals second base, he steals third base, and then takes home on a throw that's a little late and a little high, all based on his legs, his agility, his athleticism. This is why Mookie Betts is one of the two best players in baseball. This is why the Red Sox brass was crazy not to give him the cash he wanted whenever he wanted it. Because when Betts does things like that, he affects the game on so many levels. He affects the game defensively. He affects the game at the plate. He affects the game on the base paths. He does everything. And last night, the Dodgers got a win in game 1 because of their stars, Kershaw and Betts. Which brings us to the Rays. Does it look like the Rays are going to be outclassed in this series? I'm not ready to say that yet. Tampa Bay has been the best team in the American League all season long. I'm not ready after one game to suddenly seize on this and say, see, Tampa Bay can't do it. I like the Rays story. I love the Rays lineup. I like how they're put together and they're built. They don't have the star power. They don't have the big payroll. They don't have the big names that the Dodgers do. But I expect the Rays to perform better than they did last night. And I was surprised last night that they didn't get a better effort out of Glasnow, because Tyler Glasnow is one of their really top young pitchers. He was really, really good all season long. And last night just really didn't have it. Now, credit the Dodgers' approach to the plate. Credit the Dodgers' lineup. But I expect the Rays to have better pitching than they did last night. They're not going to give up 8 runs again. I bet you for the rest of the series, they do not give up that many runs again. I absolutely believe that the Rays can be back into this series as early as tonight in game number 2. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, hit me up. DA on CBS, your thoughts on World Series game number 1. Mraz, when you were watching this game last night, did you feel like, uh-oh, Rays are outclassed in this series?
They're not outclassed in the series, but you saw the recipe for beating the Rays, and that is you can't fall behind them. The moment Glasnow makes that pitch to Bellinger in the 4th and he smashes it to right field and the Dodgers have a 2-0 lead, that's uh-oh time for the Rays. The Rays with that bullpen need to play from ahead. And if they only answer like they did with Kiermaier's homer for a solo homer in the bottom of the 4th, and they only chip away at 1, they're already in quicksand there. Because of their bullpen and because of how dominant or how much, you know, lengthier the Dodgers lineup is than the Rays lineup, the Rays need to score first in these games and get that mental game going with the Dodgers that, uh-oh, how many outs are they going to get out of their bullpen here? Because they have such an extreme advantage with their pen. It's all about scoring first. It sounds so cliche, but it is so true and it is so evident that that's what the Rays need to do. And I think they're going to have a couple cracks at that. Look at tonight when they face essentially a bullpen game.
Yep, I agree with all of that, and I think also the mental game for the Rays is not only putting the Dodgers on their heels from a deficit standpoint, but also letting the Dodgers think about all of those big losses they've had in the World Series and in October big games. I mean, Los Angeles has never closed the deal, not with this team. They haven't in 32 years. So if the Rays can put pressure on the Dodgers, get late into games with a lead, put some doubt into the Dodgers' heads, it has to raise some of those old memories, especially if you take 1 or 2 games and suddenly you have a 2-1 series or something like that, and the Dodgers have to answer those questions about, uh-oh, is this here we go again? So it's a big deal for the Rays to put pressure on the Dodgers. They did not do so last night. Credit the Dodgers for getting game number 1 in a laugher 8-3. When we come back here on the show, your best audio of the day. And boy, the Astros still don't get it. And Jera ain't happy in Big D. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
DA, they can fire you, but they can't eat you. Just remember that. Welcome back, everybody. You can listen to the podcast form of the DA show whenever you want. Listen to us by simply going to your favorite podcast platform, searching The DA Show, subscribe. That way you get automatic uploads of all of our episodes. Plus, then you can rate and review them if you have the time. That helps other people find the podcast as well. Let's start in Big D with Jerry Jones. This one's getting ugly early. We'll give you an update on where the Cowboys are after we hear this clip from Jerry Jones on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, our CBS Sports Radio affiliate there, with Sean and RJ as he discusses his quarterback, Andy Dalton.
If you ask me, do I have confidence in Andy Dalton being able to come in here and us have winning football on the Cowboys? I do at that position. He's going to be challenged. I wish we had better shape protection-wise there with him. I wish we had and can get going with a better running game.
I do. I like how Jerry said it almost French there. Do I have confidence in Andy Dalton? I do. I do as well. I think that last game out for the Cowboys, they messed all over the carpet. If they were a pet doggy, they messed all over the carpet.
I do.
Ezekiel Elliott now has 5 fumbles on the season. That's almost 1 per game. He had 2 of them that set up short fields for the Cardinals in this game. The Cardinals, against that Swiss cheese Cowboys defense, was able to convert those into touchdowns. Then the pass rush was able to get to Andy Dalton regularly, and Zach Martin goes out with a concussion, one of the most important pieces on that offensive line. Combine that with a Michael Gallup drop in the end zone, and do I think that the Cowboys can play better than they did on Sunday night? I do. Now,
I do.
Do I have confidence that the Cowboys are going to right this ship? No, not really, because I don't trust Mike McCarthy, and I don't trust Mike Nolan. I don't trust this defense. But do I think that Andy Dalton is better than what we've seen, at least through the game and a half that he's been in there? I do. I do think that Dalton isn't this bad. Okay? Now, if they protect him better and they don't fumble the football in front of him and the defense is giving up 3s instead of 7s, Dalton can be better. Once Dalton gets behind by 21 points, forget it. It's game, set, match. You're not going to come back with Dalton down 21 points. But can the Cowboys play better than they did Sunday? Yeah. And do I think that this division is still up in the air? I do. I don't think that by any shape, I don't think there's any way the Cowboys aren't still in this division. I mean, they're 2-4, for crying out loud. That's the best record of the division at this point in time. Now, there were reports yesterday by Jane Slater, NFL Network, that there's dissension building already within the locker room, and that players are saying these coaches don't know what they're doing. Quote, they're bad at their job.
Loser.
And that's distinctly possible. You know, Mike McCarthy spent the last year and a half after he got fired in Green Bay sitting in a basement full of retirees going over film, and, you know, who knows? Maybe that was essentially like the Bears fans, you know, a bunch of fat guys sitting around the basement eating sausages, watching football, thinking that they could now coach. That doesn't seem so smart right now, because McCarthy is clearly at a loss. And Mike Nolan, oh my God, that defense is so bad. Here is Nick Foles as the Bears are the worst 5-1 ever.
we're not going to get complacent and say, hey, man, we're 5-1. This is it. No, like we're sitting there in the locker room after the game talking through it. Hey, we got to be better here. This is what we got to do here. Communication here, route running here. Hey, we got to be able to run the ball here. We know that. I know y'all are going to ask those questions. We know that. And that's what's exciting, because we don't have to have y'all say, like, hey, you doing this? Hey, we know. But we also know that we're going to improve because we believe in one another. And that's what great teams do. Great teams find a way to win a game. Bad teams win with prettiness. Great teams win no matter how it takes. So I'm proud of our guys. I think we're continuing to improve. Are we where we want to be? No, we're not where we want to be. But I'm excited about our offense.
You know, Nick Foles is better when he's not talking. Nick Foles, I know you got the MVP of that Super Bowl. I know you got that big fat ring and that statue outside of Lincoln Financial Field, but just tone it down just a hair there, just a notch. Look, here's the problem with the Bears. They've beaten one good team. One good team. They beat the Lions in that comeback, led by Mitchell Trubisky, which meant so much to Matt Nagy. He benched Trubisky. They beat the Giants. Who cares? They beat the Falcons in another comeback. Remember, that was basically the game that essentially got Dan Quinn fired. It happened again to the Falcons, but that was the beginning of the end for Dan Quinn. Then they lost to the Colts. They beat the Buccaneers in that ugly Thursday night game, but that's the only good win they have. Then last week they beat the Panthers. I know the Panthers have been a cute story. The Panthers are not a good team. They're a fine competitive team. They're fine. They're average. They're not a good team. They're not a playoff team. So the Bears might be 5-1, but they've beaten one playoff caliber team right now, and that's the problem. They get the Rams coming up next, which that's a good test. Then they get the Saints after that. Then they get the Titans after that. And they have the Packers 2 weeks after that. So four of their next five matchups are against playoff caliber teams: Rams, Saints, Titans, and Packers. Not only would it not surprise me if the Bears aren't even 3-1 in this, it wouldn't surprise me if they're not 2-2 in this. It would not surprise me if they are 0-4 or 1-3 once they get through these four teams.
No.
No. It's like Merez talking about Eli. No.
No.
No, Eli. Don't do that on the router. No!
No.
And here's Jeff Luhnow, who is the former GM of the Astros during their cheating scandal via KPRC television in Houston.
I didn't know we were cheating. I had no idea. I wasn't involved. Major League Baseball's report stated that I didn't know anything about the trash can banging scheme. They stated I might have known something about the video decoding scheme and not paid it much attention, but there was really no credible evidence of that claim. I didn't know. I didn't know about either of them. And it felt like on that day that I was getting punished for something that I didn't do, and it didn't feel right.
Okay, I just want to raise this Exhibit A for the court. There is evidence, including text messages and emails, of Luhnow's staff reporting to Luhnow about the computer system named Codebreaker. There was a computer system in place in Houston which Luhnow got direct reports on called Codebreaker. You know, I wonder how this possibly could have happened in Houston. The GM says it wasn't his fault. The owner says he shouldn't be held accountable. And their best player, Jose Altuve, before the season says we're going to get to the World Series anyway. Sounds like tons of accountability around Houston, huh? Boy, that Astros organization, oof, boy, they're all in this thing together, huh? I mean, that's the thing, is that the Astros not only obviously cheated and obviously could have stepped too far, but they were just the worst at owning it and still are. And we can all take our shots at Rob Manfred, and we do and we should, but I thought Manfred had a pretty good facial yesterday. When Luhnow had this quote, Manfred was asked to respond, and Manfred said, number one, he's citing the text messages that we investigated. There was way more than just the text messages. And he said, and also, I sent the directive out to all GMs. If you're caught after the Apple Watch situation, it falls on the GM because you need to have control of the organization. So Manfred said, even if Luhnow said he doesn't know, it doesn't matter. He still was going to be held responsible for his organization. Yeah, sorry. Checkmate, Jeff. That's your sound check. I mean, pick your poison here, Mraz, in these three sound bites. But let's start with Nick Foles. I know they're 5-1, but Foles is getting a little saucy, don't you think?
Oh. No! Relax. Does that sound like a quarterback that's actually confident? Does that sound like a quarterback that's extremely nervous? You're all going to realize they stink. Like, you know, we know what you guys are going to say, so of course
we're
not complacent.
We know you think we stink.
We understand. No. And it's not we think. We understand you do stink, and you know you stink. You don't have to get all hot and bothered. We understand the record doesn't reflect it, and you know that. We get it. Bump the brakes.
On those four potential playoff teams, what do you think their record is after those four? In those four games?
1-3.
You think they beat either the Saints or the Packers or the Rams or the Titans?
Yes, I think they will find a way to win one game. It could be this weekend versus the Rams. It very well could be. I think if I had to guess, my prediction for the upset special would probably be the Saints, because I think their pass rush can, you know, fluster Drew Brees, who this year, when he's had to face a big pass rush, has looked a little flustered. But I think they will find a way, because I don't look, I'm saying they stink. They're not the NFC East stink. So I do think in the NFL, you know, you give them four cracks at really good teams, they're going to find a way to win one of these games.
1-3, I think, is best case scenario. They're not going 2-2 against those teams.
I would agree.
Not going 2-2. Now, they don't have to go, you know, 3-1 or 4-0 because they get the Vikings still twice. They get the Lions one more time. They get the Texans and the Jaguars. So the Bears' schedule shapes up, as we've joked about, very pretty for a 10-6 wild card weekend at the NFC East winner. That feels like where the Bears' season's going to go. And you know what? They might end up winning that first playoff game. Now,
yeah, well, imagine could it's be Foles versus Wentz and Eagles.
Could definitely be. Now, could also be the NFC West's second team that goes on the road. Could be the Cardinals, could be the Rams. If the Seahawks win the division going on the road, I suppose it could be the Niners to the NFC East as well. But the Bears are going to end up likely in that 9 or 10 win range, maybe even 10 or 11 wins because their schedule breaks pretty good for them. And they're going to end up on the road in the playoffs with a chance to win against a mediocre foe in the NFC East if that's who they pull.
We're looking for a double doink there. How great would that be again?
But they're going to get smashed when they play a good team in the divisional round.
Of course they are.
Next up, okay, in the sound check. I mean, that last soundbite is just amazing as well from Jeff Luhnow. I mean, if you're the Astros, I know that Luhnow wants to work again in baseball. But, I mean, my God, can anybody in that organization take responsibility? Who the hell yet has said, yeah, you know what? My bad. Nobody.
It's so bizarre because all you have to do very early on is say, I would even finger point, say, hey, yeah, I was aware we were doing it. In hindsight, I guess I wish we handled it better. Every team's looking for an edge. Maybe we took an edge too far. If you say anything like that, it's kind of like any of the steroid PED guys in baseball that have admitted it and whatever road they wanted to go down, you kind of forget about it and don't crush them for it. It's those guys who
and
go
you
down.
And you can always play the card, as you said, of, you know what, we felt like everybody was doing it. We just took it a level too far. You can use that talking point, and a lot of people would agree with you, but what you can't do is continually deny that you did anything.
Right. And by the way, if he's worried about maybe not getting another job because he's aware of cheating, I mean, the first two names we're hearing every time we talk about a manager getting fired is Alex Cora and A.J. Hinch. Where are those guys going to end up? Luhnow, just save face now and admit it. I don't know. Why do you have to keep going down with the ship? It's almost uncomfortable how bad a liar he is.
None of them can do it. Jim Crane couldn't do it. Jeff Luhnow couldn't do it. The players couldn't do it. The manager couldn't do it. Remember, the manager said that it wasn't his fault. He didn't understand the scope of things. Nobody in the organization can own this. It's incredible.
It's ridiculous. You know what? Now that in hindsight, thank goodness the Rays won, because all these players sitting there winning Correa, I saw you point, all these guys guaranteeing World Series, enough's enough. But do remember on Lunel, it is not a lie if you believe it.
It's true. It's time to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet at me, DA on CBS. Be listening later on to the show when we'll answer that question. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. What?
Bogish, when I just delivered that line, gave the worst eye roll I've ever seen and thought I wasn't
Did
looking.
Did I?
Oh, man, I think Cap captured it. It was such a big eye roll because I gave you a good line about the not a lie if you believe it.
Or a bad line.
The George Costanza line.
Yeah, the George Costanza line. Why the eye roll, Bogues?
I don't remember eye rolling, but I also don't remember.
Now you're lying like Lunel?
No, I don't remember eye rolling. If I did, and that was my natural reaction, because as Pete said, I mean, you forced that one in there at the end. I don't know that worked as well as you think it did.
Andrew Bogish has our headlines this morning. AB, how annoying are the Astros, by the way?
See, this is the problem. I was entertained by it. I kind of wanted them to keep going because it was such ridiculousness from them. It's in particular acting the players like they were victims and they were somehow avenging themselves by having this run. It was entertaining to me, and I think baseball would have gotten a little juice that it normally doesn't get had they kept going. I mean, if they were in this World Series.
Well, Dodgers, Astros would have had a lot of juice, yes.
Right. I mean, that would have been a fairly remarkable story. And I, too, like, even if you go as far down the road as possible, had they won this whole thing this year, you can't forgive them in any way, but it would have been a completely unpredictable and confusing kind of bow on this entire story that they right. very quickly won one theoretically without cheating. So I was entertained by their kind of wrestling heel turn setup. So I'm a little disappointed that they're out right now.
Could you imagine, yeah, Astros, Dodgers in this World Series, and if the Dodgers had lost again to the Astros, the Dodgers would have just walked off the Santa Monica Pier. Forget it. We're done here. All right, what do we got on headlines this morning?
We begin with those Dodgers. Their offense began in Game 1 of the World Series last night with a two-run homer from Cody Bellinger in the fourth. Then the bats really took off in the fifth.
Two balls, no strikes. Hernandez, hard ground ball into left field for a base hit. Will Smith rounding third on his way home. He's going to make it. 6-1 Dodgers as Kike Hernandez with another clutch pinch hit. Four runs in the fifth. Dodgers 6-1.
Charlie Steiner, Dodgers Radio LA, a four-run fifth on a fielder's choice and three singles, finished off by that one from Kike Hernandez. Manager Dave Roberts loved it all.
We just took good at-bats all night long, really, and Will Smith comes up with a hit, or Cody comes up, or Chris Taylor comes up with a hit. Kike comes up with a two-out hit. You know, Corey Seager had three walks tonight. And when you're talking about getting the pitch count up with Glasnow, I thought those are great at-bats.
The 6-1 lead became an 8-3 final over the Rays in Arlington. That was plenty of offense for Clayton Kershaw. Six innings, one run, just three base runners, eight Ks. Rays starter Tyler Glasnow charged with six runs on three hits and six walks over four and a third. Lefty Blake Snell tries to do better in Game 2 tonight. The Dodgers will start righty Tony Gonsolin. Now, before Game 1, Commissioner Rob Manfred said he wants playoff expansion and that new rule for starting extra innings with a runner on second base to continue. The playoffs wouldn't be this season's 16 teams, but maybe 12 or 14. Union head Tony Clark said all these changes are one-year deals, but he's gathering feedback from players, and then they'll talk with MLB. So we discussed the off-field issues in Dallas a few minutes ago. Now their actual injury report moving ahead towards Sunday. They have lost another tackle. Brandon Knight's out multiple weeks with a knee injury. He had been filling in for Tyron Smith and Orlando Collins, who are both done for the season. Suspended defensive end Randy Gregory is back on the active roster and could play Sunday against Washington. Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey unlikely to return from his high ankle sprain this weekend, but next Thursday against Atlanta is possible. And as you've probably heard by now, the Dolphins are reportedly switching from Ryan Fitzpatrick to Tua Tagovailoa. They're off this week, so Tua's first start would be in two Sundays against the Rams. There is currently a stay-in-place order at the University of Michigan because of a COVID spike, but in a shocking turn of events, it does not apply to athletes, especially football players who are free to leave and go play Minnesota this weekend. As of Monday, there were 4,200 229 positives in the local area with over 1,000 on campus. And the health department says there is evidence social gatherings on campus are to blame for all of that. The Indiana Pacers named Raptors assistant Nate Bjorkgren their head coach yesterday, and an MLS Nashville SC a 3-0 home win over FC Dallas. DA, back to you.
Excellent. Thank you, AB. When we come back here on the show, this date in Mothership history, 4 years ago, Mraz claims he's getting healthy right after a football Sunday. Oh. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Come one, come all, step inside. It's this date in Mothership history.
Are you sensing a pattern? On this date 4 years ago, 2016, Mraz insisted, I'm gonna get healthy right after this football game. Let's roll the tape.
So I will set an alarm. I'm going to plan on setting it for 8:45 because I want to take care of my morning kind of body getting altered to the day.
Oh, what does that mean?
I have to go to the bathroom in the morning. But usually that takes, you know, a good 10 minutes before the body realizes I'm awake. Goes, all right, you know, let's clean out the pipes here.
So starting out with the brunch, does that mean that will just begin your day of gluttonous eating, or does that take over one of your game day meals?
Now, this is the plan going in. I am hoping that upon the game ending at 12:30, instead of sitting on the couch and proceeding then to dip into lunch, that I actually go to the gym and watch. They have Red Zone.
Whoa!
Yes, they have Red Zone, CBS,
and Fox.
An NFL
Sunday gym hit for you?
Just for an hour.
Never been done before.
Never been done. Never been done. But only because I know I'm going to eat a lot in the morning. So yeah, I'll watch the first quarters of the 1 o'clock doing cardio at the gym. Then come home, shower up. Maybe pick up maybe some crackers and cheese around 3 o'clock. And then the plan is, I believe, to go to the hollow grounds of Buffalo Wild Wings for the Steelers and the Patriots.
Let's call this as we see it. You ain't going to the gym.
Well, what's going to happen is if I end up having a couple mimosas and I'm in no position to work out.
More than likely, that hour at the gym is a nap until you go to the Buffalo Wild Wings.
It's totally fair. I mean, when the Jets and Ravens kick off, I might be out like a light.
This is great.
I got good intentions, though.
Yeah, good intentions. Hey.
So start with the first cinnamon bun down the chute. Yeah. Next thing I know, I'm on the couch. Yeah. Next thing I know, I got palm garlic going down the tubes. And who knows what happens when the Seahawks and Cardinals play. Yeah.
For the record, that Ravens-Jets game that Mraz just referenced, Jets 24, Ravens 16, a shocking turn of events as Joe Flacco threw for 248, no touchdowns and two interceptions, but Ryan Fitzpatrick and Geno Smith were worse. Oh, man. Now, I don't know if you remember what exactly happened on this day, Mraz, but how many times in your life were you ever at the gym on a football Sunday?
I don't even know why I would say that, and I must have been in real desperate times as far as, you know, mentally looking at my stomach to even contemplate that. The idea of getting and doing some cardio, watching Red Zone on a 13-inch screen at the gym, what are you, nuts? No, you plant your fanny on the couch, and you sit there, and you enjoy yourself. And that's, I'm assuming, is what I did. Now, what I do find weird, I was doing brunch. I mean, who am I? What am I?
Yeah, I guess back in the day, 4 years ago, you were a little foo-foo doing brunch and thinking you're going to have a couple of mimosas and then go to the gym and work out.
What was wrong with me? No, just sit there and eat your wings.
I still ask that question. I don't know. I don't know where your delusion comes from so often. That,
I
mean, this is like when you said, I'm going to lose 100 pounds by Taylor's first birthday. It was so out of sight. It was such an unrealistic expectation that if you would have said, I'm going to lose 20 by then, okay, that's doable. You wouldn't have done it, but it's at least doable. Wow. But when you said, I'm going to lose 100, I mean, it's so obvious you're not going to do so. It's the same as I'm going to go work out on an NFL Sunday.
You guys have brunch. To understand the psyche. If I say I'm going to lose 20 pounds in a year and then I don't lose the 20 pounds, I'll feel worse about myself. If I say I'm going to shoot for 100 pounds, but then I end up losing the 25 or 30, I'll say, okay, I didn't achieve my goal, but wow, I did do this. So if you make bigger goals that you know are harder to attain and you chip away at them, you're more likely to get to the original goal you could have set. I could write a book and speak on this.
Yeah, but the only problem is, how do you feel when you set the goal of losing 100 and you've gained 15?
Again, guys, we didn't know a pandemic was coming. We weren't prepared. If we weren't prepared here, how could I have been prepared and known? The gyms were shut down. That's everybody gained the quarantine 15. This is an unheard of weight gain year across the country that unfortunately just happened to coincide with a year I planned on losing 100.
You know, it's funny because some people would say, well, because of quarantine, I had more free time on my hands. Quarantine, I actually found more time in my schedule to go out and walk and to run and do push-ups and sit-ups and maybe buy a home gym system or buy a set of dumbbells for the house or just buy a treadmill or something. There's a lot of people that picked up physical fitness because of COVID, not the opposite.
Well, but when the gyms are shut down, there's only so much you could do from home, D.A. I went on a lot of runs, too, and I felt good about myself at times. But what you're not factoring in is there's more time to watch Netflix and all that other stuff. And what do? Your hands in a little bag of goldfish here. Your hands in a bag of salt and vinegar chips here. Ooh, the Oreos are here. There's more snacking. You're not on a routine where it's, okay, for breakfast, here I go. Here's my oatmeal. Now I'm too busy to even think about snacking. Here's my healthy lunch. That doesn't happen when you're home.
Yeah, if COVID-19 had taken away pizza, buffalo chicken dip, and bagels, you still wouldn't have lost 100 pounds. There's no way. There is no way you're ever going to lose 100 in a year. You'll never lose 100 over the course of your life. I mean, no disrespect, but that's just not going to happen.
And I was so big on supporting local businesses, all these restaurants and stuff like that. I couldn't let them go under. It's your duty.
Chicken. These are eye rolls, Sean, by the way. These are now eye rolls.
Yeah,
there was
the
not one
eye rolls.
The last segment, but these are eye rolls.
You guys just aren't being realistic. That's all. I got a new clock starting in January. Hopefully, you know, everything is normal.
Oh, okay. That's what it is now?
Let's go.
By our second birthday, we have 100 pounds.
Let's get to the terrible twos and be fit for them.
Okay. And you're going to start in January during the NFL playoffs.
Look, we've been down here. January, I'm just going to look to hover. I'm not going to look to make my move yet. I'm not going to pounce. That morning after the Super Bowl, that's where you pounce. I'm not going to be a sucker. French fried.
And then the first true March Madness that we would have had in 2 years, and you're going to sit that one out?
Well, no, because I'm supposed to go to my brother-in-law's bachelor party in Vegas the first weekend of March Madness.
Yeah, and the entire month.
Happens.
And then baseball season is going to come back, and they're going to allow fans back in the building, and you're not going to start getting into some Yankee games and running into a few chicken baskets?
And is Bob's Bar closing, that you're not going to have this place to go and eat all day and drink all day?
Guys, I didn't say I'm going to shutter myself to nothing but salads and water, but there's ways to do this here. I don't need to do it 7 days
you
a week.
You haven't found any yet.
Yeah.
It must be nice to sit there with your size 32s. It must be so nice.
Don't deflect. You're the one that claimed you were going to lose 100 pounds by Taylor's first birthday.
I didn't wake up expecting to get attacked like this today. I didn't.
The Taylor's birthday is now like 60 days away, and you're not down 100. You're up 20.
I'm not up 20 anymore. I'm only up 4. I got this.
No.
Key Lardo, I've actually lost weight since early quarantine, so I'm chipping away.
Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by GEICO. That's our music. Want to know what's really scary, seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to GEICO? It's going to keep you up at night. Switch to GEICO and save. When we come back here on the DA Show, have the Cowboys turned on Mike McCarthy already? Reports would suggest so. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.